Hello. This is my Lenten diary for March the 24th, 2012. If you're an Episcopalian under the sound of my voice, these next few words are going to sound really familiar. Hear what our Lord Jesus Christ saith. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. There it is, in a nutshell, how to live life. Love God, love your neighbor. Easy, straightforward, simple. Only sometimes it's not so easy. And sometimes it's complicated. And sometimes it feels a bit convoluted and anything but straightforward. Love God. Love your neighbor. Part of the difficulty is that we in our culture have confused love as an emotion with love as a set of behaviors. We have fallen into the trap of believing that we've got to feel loving, as opposed to we've got to do love. I've got a friend and colleague who says that love has a look to it. And I'm inclined to agree. When the Apostle Paul writes the church at Corinth in chapters 12 through 14 in his first letter to them, he is addressing a congregation that is full of spiritual gifts. Gifts of knowledge and wisdom, gifts of healing and miracles, gift of discernment, gift of interpretation of tongues, gift of tongues, gift upon gift. They were in some degree of competition about whose gifts were the greatest and whose gifts were the most important. So yesterday we read as Paul talked about being a part of the body of Christ. Toward the end of chapter 12, Paul says, "I will show you a more excellent way." And what follows is the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, one of Paul's most quoted passages that the apostle ever wrote. We hear it lots at weddings. In fact, people have sentimentalized this powerful passage of Scripture. This is not a treatise on romantic love, rather, it is an explication of what it means to live in Christian love and fellowship, not simply with each other in the church, but with the whole world. Listen to what Paul writes. This is the look of love from the Apostle Paul's standpoint. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful, or arrogant, or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. That's a tall order. And it would be impossible if we were trying to scare up those behaviors on our own. But remember, 1 Corinthians 13 is set within the context of Paul's explanation that the Spirit of God is what empowers the church. The Spirit of God is what propels the church. The Spirit of God is what nourishes the church. The Spirit of God is what surrounds and creates and recreates and reforms and forms the church. We are agents of love. And the way that that love gets manifest is a congregation, a group, a community that, among other things, is patient with one another, is kind to each other, refrains from boasting and arrogance, refrains from rudeness, rejoices in the truth. And yes, there's even sometimes with this godly love an element of endurance, being long-suffering, keeping the relationship open with one's fellow Christian or neighbor, even when it feels like there's no relationship to preserve. And then to this group of hyper-spiritual people, people who were very fond of talking about their giftedness, Paul writes these words: "As for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know only in part, and we prophesy only in part. But when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. Now I know only in part, then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. Now abide faith, hope, and love, these three. And the greatest of these is love." At the end of the day, what we will be known for is not the size of our church buildings or the depth of our pocketbooks. We won't be known for how pretty we are or how knowledgeable we are. We will not be known for how much we have given away, how much we have taken on, or the services we have rendered. At the end of the day, what we will be known for as Christians, as followers of the embodiment of God's love in the flesh, Jesus, whom we call the Christ, what we will be known for is, did we have the look of love? Let us pray. Mercifully hear our prayers, O Lord, and spare all those who confess their sins to you, that those whose consciences are accused by sin may by your merciful pardon be absolved. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Until tomorrow, may the peace of the Lord be with you.